Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Catherine Hull. Catherine, you're taking a well-earned break. I'm sure it's a well-earned break after the rigours of the last couple of weeks, both in Canada and Portland. What are you up to at the moment?
Actually, I'm driving down to Monterey for a college teammate's wedding, which is on Monday. But I kind of wish I was playing this week because it's nice to be able to play when you're on a roll.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we're going to talk about the Canadian win soon, but I'd imagine in many ways the backup fourth place in Portland last week must have been tremendously satisfying to you, because to follow up such a significant week in your career with a very good finish last week in Portland must have been a great thrill for you.
Yeah, it was. And I actually got to play with Christy Kira, who ended up winning the tournament, and obviously I was only two shots behind, so it was a great experience to be, you know, again in contention and came close, but not close enough. But yeah, obviously really happy with the fourth place.
Well, obviously your status in the game has an added dimension now, but has your game changed significantly? What has been the reason for this turnaround?
Yeah, I've definitely been a lot more consistent this year, and I credit that actually to working with Steve McRae, my coach from Wollongong, and I only started working with him at the start of last year, and I didn't really have any goals set out, I guess, in the first few years on tour. I kind of just plodded along and didn't really challenge myself, and my game wasn't really improving. And he kind of asked me a few questions last year, and we set out some goals and plans, and it's finally this year kind of kicking in. And last year we worked pretty hard on my golf swing and short game, and then this year it's been more kind of working on the mental side of things and making my practice more like I play, and that's really been the difference, I think, in my game. So, yeah, it's nice to finally have that hard work pay off.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, Catherine, referring to the improvement in the mental side of your game, because there doesn't appear to be much of an improvement in any one area in terms of the stats. So clearly there's just been a need to have a greater focus and maybe a rethink of the way you practice, and that's clearly been the reason for the improvement.
Yeah, I think overall it's just been a little more consistent across the board. My ball striking's improved a fraction, putting's improved a fraction, and I mean, even though the stats is not, like you said, not one area that's really showing a dramatic improvement, but I think the other thing too is, like, I've found a great caddy, and it's more a personality match than anything, but I mean, he's able to keep me really level out there, keep me focused, and he's been with me since April, and how, well, what Steve wants me to work on, and he's able to kind of keep me on that track too. So it's been a real team effort this year, that's for sure.
I read a piece that you'd said after your win in Canada about your new caddy, John, who's been working with you, as you said, since April. But mind you, there have been a lot of events since here, because it's been a fairly intense schedule in that time. But having been a caddy myself at one time, and importantly, you made the point that he knows not only when to say something, but very importantly, when not to say something.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of half the battle out there, is knowing when to be quiet and knowing when to jump in and kind of give some advice. And it's taken a while to find someone that I really gel with on the golf course, but obviously I'm ecstatic that this is working so well, and yeah, really looking forward to, you know, the end of the season and hopefully maybe winning another tournament.
Well, let's talk about that. What is it about Canada? Obviously, that second year on the LPGA Tour, you finished runner-up there. Is there something about the air up there? I don't know. What is it about Canada? You've obviously got a bit of a love affair with the place.
I've always liked that golf tournament. The RCGA do a fantastic job of running it, and you know, we always play good golf courses. And I can't tell you one thing specifically, but yeah, it's a fun tournament, and I guess it was my week to win the other week.
Yeah, it was a new venue this year, the Ottawa Hunt Club.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Like the Aussie Open and the US Open, the British Open, they move us around each year, and I think it's probably been about 8 years since the LPGA Tour had played that golf course, and they'd made a few changes to it, and I mean, it suited my eye, and I obviously love the greens, and yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is, when it's kind of your turn to win, it's your turn to win. It's just the way it goes. I mean, you don't know at the start of the week that you're going to win, but, I mean, that's what kind of what you're working towards. And, yeah, you're not out there for second place.
Well, Well, you didn't know at the start of the week necessarily you were going to win. Did you know at the start of the round you had a chance? You were 6 shots behind Yani Tseng heading into the final round. How did you feel about your chances going into the final day?
I certainly didn't expect to win, being 6 shots back, but, you know, in golf anything's possible, and there's been champions that have come back from, I don't know, 7, 8 shots in some tournaments. So, yeah, I mean, you go out there and you try and execute your plan, and you never know what's going to happen.
Well, you said immediately after the tournament it hadn't sunk in at that stage, which clearly it wouldn't have so soon after. But, I mean, has it sunk in now what a win on the LPGA Tour means to you?
No, I mean, it kind of comes and goes. You know, when I think about it, I get pretty excited still. And, it's changed the rest of my season, that's for sure. I'm now in the ADT Championship, which is like a top 30 event at the end of the year. And obviously my world ranking's improved and kind of locks me into the overseas events in October, November. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely got bonuses. I want a Rolex watch. I get this, like, weekend away at this famous spa resort. And, I mean, it's funny. I felt like Christmas was 5 days in a row because I just kept on finding out all these bonuses.
Well, it was a big tournament to win, too, because it was one of the stronger purses on the LPGA Tour, wasn't it? $2.25 million. Overall purse and a fairly healthy first prize. So you might say that you chose a nice tournament to win as your maiden win on the LPGA Tour, Catherine.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I didn't even know what the purse was worth until they told me after in the media centre, and I didn't even know that I was in ADT. I mean, when I pick my schedule at the start of the year, I certainly don't do it on the purses. I kind of just do it based on what golf courses I like and how many events I want to play, and it just worked out nicely. I think it was the fifth largest that we have on tour, so that was nice. It was, kind of a pleasant surprise.
What does it do for your mindset now? Does it make you more determined to go to another level again? Or, I mean, where do you sit with that now? Are you happy with what you've achieved to date? Are you now even more determined to go to the next level?
I think it makes you more hungry to win again. Winning is very addictive, and I've always been a very competitive person, and obviously it had been a while since I'd won. I think the ALPG Championship back in 2005, and, you know, now that I've got some goals and I have a direction and got something that I'm working towards, it definitely makes me more hungry to win again.
You're a very religious person, Catherine. Clearly, during the course of the final round, it's been well documented that you were referring to scripture readings. With the greatest respect, how do you choose what you're going to read during the course of the day? Do you specifically select things that will help you in that occasion, or is it just general readings that you rely on a regular basis?
That's a great question. My caddy, actually, was the one that kind of got me back into the Bible, and that was what really started, and he gave me a card at the start of the week in Canada, and I read the card, but I didn't look up the scriptures. And then on Thursday I kind of had some issues on the golf course and was almost going to walk off after about 12 holes just because my head wasn't in it. And he kind of got in my face and he said, "Listen, have you read those verses that I gave you the other day?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, go home tonight, open your Bible and read them." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And just kind of recited a few verses on the last few holes coming in on Thursday, and went home Thursday night and pulled out the Bible and looked up the ones he gave me. And it kind of reminded me of some scripture that I'd, you know, read and memorized in the past. So I just pulled out my notepad and figured I'd, you know, write some down and try and memorize a few more on Friday's round. And whatever I did on Friday seemed to work. So, yeah, obviously, between shots, I was reading and trying to memorize more scripture, and I figured if that worked, I'd carry it on into the weekend. And, it's something that's, obviously, my faith is very important to me, and I think I can kind of kill two birds with one stone when I'm out there, you know, obviously playing golf and reciting scripture. So, yeah, it was definitely something I needed to do, and, you know, more verses every day. I usually pick a decent sized verse to memorize now, and it'll take me a little while to get it, but it keeps my mind off golf, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It probably does take a focus away, and you can get zeroed back in when you reach the ball. Just on that issue, over the closing stages of that tournament, there seemed to be quite a bit of indecision in some of the shot making. Was there were there swirling winds during the course of those final few holes? There seemed to be quite a delay between, you know, in making the decisions on the clubs. Was that an issue for you? Was it a confidence thing at that stage when you were right under the gun, or were the conditions very tricky in terms of shot selection?
No, I don't think the conditions were tricky. And actually, I don't remember being indecisive out there at all. I haven't watched the coverage, so I can't tell you, you know, if that's what it was. But no, I felt very very comfortable out there and very at peace. And I think it was because my mind was only on golf for, you know, 30 seconds at a time when I just had to play a shot. So felt very composed. And obviously, you know, that's what we're working for. You know, we want to get ourselves in that position to win. And normally I watch leaderboards, but that Sunday round, I just figured I would go out there and just play for God, and that was my only kind of purpose out there, and execute my plan. And I happened to catch a glance of the leaderboard on the 16th hole and noticed I had 2-shot lead, and nothing really changed. I mean, I didn't get excited or anxious or nervous. I just told myself, you know, you have to keep doing what you've been doing for the last 70 holes, and that's just sticking to your game plan and reading scripture and reciting scripture. So it was fun to be in that position, and I didn't really get to reflect on it until I guess after it was done, because you're trying to stay so in the moment when you're out there.
Well, Catherine, for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with your background, you're from the Sunshine Coast of Queensland. You went to the States in 2000, I think it was, completing your time at Pepperdine in 2003. How long exactly were you at Pepperdine?
I started in January 2000 and graduated in 3.5 years, so finished in April 2003. A usual degree in the States is 4 years, but kind of starting mid-year, I wanted to catch up with the same class that I started in, and so I just did some summer school and, yeah, managed to get out in 3.5 years.
One of the highlights for you during your time at Pepperdine, you were very successful there as a collegiate player, but I think probably one of the highlights was the fact that you were a member of the Australian Espirito Santo team in Malaysia, where they won that event along with Lindsay Wright and Vicky Thomas now. A tremendous week for you, no doubt, to be part of an Australian winning team there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I'd never played in Asia before, and we had possibly the like hottest weather ever, and Lindsay, Vicky and I just all really gelled, and I actually hadn't met Vicky before, and yeah, we just all kind of bonded and having to play well, and then obviously it was a nail-biting finish with us tying Thailand. But, definitely the biggest highlights of my career, and my parents were there to see it, and, we did a little celebrating, so it was fun.
Well, another highlight of your career, but in more recent times, has been your involvement in charity organisations, more especially your visit to Rwanda, I think it was last year, wasn't it, with a couple of LPGA Tour players. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we took a trip to Rwanda in October last year, and kind of how that all started was Betsy King, she's now a retired LPGA Hall of Fame player. I was in the same Bible study group with her on my rookie year on tour, and she took a trip to Africa in October 2006, and when she came back, she was kind of on fire for the people of Africa and really wanted to get involved down there. And she started working with World Vision, and they kind of founded this project called Golf for Africa. And the whole idea was to raise money for a community in the south part of Rwanda where 60% of people are below 77% of people below poverty line. And, you know, she kind of picked Africa because, you know, in the States, if you're in need, you have a place to go to get shelter or food, like soup kitchens, that sort of thing. Whereas in Africa, they've got absolutely nothing. And then you add the AIDS pandemic on top of it, and you've got a real problem. So Rwanda was kind of a country that she picked because they had a massive genocide there in 1994, and it's left a lot of orphan children, and that was kind of one of the needs, or the greatest needs there. And yeah, I was fortunate enough to take a trip down in October and kind of see what goes on behind the scenes and figure out what the next project would be. And We're actually in the process right now of raising money to build a medical clinic in Rwanda and then also build some homes in Lesotho, which is the really tiny country surrounded by South Africa.
Well, Catherine, I mean, clearly you're achieving both on the golf course and off the golf course with that sort of commitment to charity organisations and the support of people in places like Rwanda. It's been a tremendous last 12 months, but more especially, I suppose, the last 3 to 4 weeks have been absolutely outstanding in your life. And I'm sure there's more to come now that you've gone to that next level with your game. Thanks for giving us some time this morning, and we look forward to seeing you back here later in the year. And good luck for the remaining events of the year. There's still a lot at stake over the closing stages of 2008.
Thank you very much, Bruce.